Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
Take two.
Yeah, this week has actually been incredibly interesting in terms of actually getting the fucking podcast together. I came down with two different kinds of sicknesses. We've had technical difficulties out the ass. We've had internet difficulties out the ass. We've had guests that couldn't make it. And now here we are recording very, very late on a different computer with different recording instruments.
And Term's cutting out a whole bunch, so this is going to be fantastic to edit together.
But we're finally here. We've got everybody, and hopefully we can make use of this special little podcast for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Special indeed.
Yeah, speaking of special little podcasts with special little guests, we've got two guests with us this time. We've got Combine Keegan.
Hello.
And we've got Wild Weasel.
Guten Tag.
Right, so we've got someone deeply influential on the community who has inspired several modders and personally forged several paths now regularly taken in the gameplay mod seed. And then we have a foul-mouthed nerd.
Well, we could just, you know, let the audience determine which one is which.
That'd be you.
Fuck you! Oh, wait. Damn it!
Played your hand too early there, Giggles. Alright, first up, jumping straight in, we got recent events in the community. There's been some fan game award thing that was coming out recently. I think they're finally going to be settling it tomorrow, aren't they?
Yeah.
Thursday.
We're recording this on Wednesday, so technically it's tomorrow for us. It's probably going to already happen by the time this gets put online.
And that's going to have a few... The Game Awards are going to have a few things that are Doom-related there.
By a few things, we mean one. Brutal Doom 64 is one of the contenders for greatest fan game. Formerly competing alongside Pokemon Uranium and AM2R and the Skyrim Total Conversion thing, which I admit I know nothing about.
TC is that it's a long time coming. It's kind of like those German RPGs, and it probably has 500 million fans, all of whom are probably horrible perverts.
Well, it is Skyrim we're talking about. I really wanted to vote for AM2R. But unfortunately, nope, not gonna happen now. Nintendo kind of
no yeah. justice.
Nintendo were like, nope, it's got to be one of our things, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it's kind of interesting. I mean, you contrast that with id Software, and id Software has just been embracing everything about the fan community. I mean, not just that, but, I mean, Carmack personally, he wanted people to crack open Doom and start making their own stuff. And that is really, really cool. I mean, 22 years later, we've been doing this shit. And more stuff keeps coming out every day.
Just keep beating that dead horse. Except now we got new and HD sticks.
The horse has since been resurrected by an archvile, so we need to beat it to death again before we can beat the dead horse.
Shouldn't we focus on the archvile first?
Well, that would be the wise thing to do.
Now, when you say HD stick, we've got several options here. I mean, do you want your high-definitions texture stick? Do you want your hideous destructor stick? Or do you want your H-Doom stick?
Oh.
That joke took 10 takes!
Oh, yeah. What you guys aren't hearing is me just stumbling over that entire sentence because I just couldn't say the fucking words right.
He wanted to say dick!
Hurriedly moving on from there, we've got something about Bethesda Pinball. Does anyone care about that at all?
Me!
Well, it's really nice to finally have an official Doom table after all those visual pinball ones that admittedly weren't all that bad.
It's actually funny because a couple of days before that was announced, a friend of mine was like, why hasn't there ever been a Doom pinball machine? This seems to look like a serious slip-up.
And, well, there we are.
Is there
nature is balanced. There's Doom, Skyrim, and Fallout tables.
So on the Skyrim table, is there a chance for the ball to just clip through the flippers and then bounce through the table itself at Mach 20?
Yes.
Sadly, this thing is being made by the guys that make the pinball arcade, who, Like, their simulation tech is great, but they're literally everything else.
So we won't be running Doom on this tabletop, is what you're saying.
Sadly, it will not run Doom.
Honestly, I just kind of feel a little scuzzy about how Bethesda's been pushing Doom pretty hard in their little conglomeration promotional packs with the figures and the E3 presentation and now this pinball thing, despite that they've published only one game. And their published job was real shit. Their marketing was awful.
Well, they've also they seem to be really pushing for the whole wider universe thing nowadays, because they've also got the Wolfenstein stuff and the Evil Within, that promotional Bethesda stuff. So, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
Why isn't there a Wolfenstein pinball table?
Mein Leben!
Make a Wolfenstein 3D pinball table, because it has been, like, 25 years almost.
Seriously, why can't I hit Nazis with pinballs?
That's a mod idea.
I want to make a pinball mod for Doom so bad, but the physics are not physics.
No, what you do instead is you make a series of weapons based off mechanics from pinball. So you have a set of flippers for melee, you got the plunger spring as like a rifle or something, you know, and you can tilt the entire map.
Nice.
You can actually do that now thing with a set actor roll.
Bounce everyone up. Yeah.
But don't do it too much, otherwise you break the map and everybody gets sucked down a hole.
Tilt!
And then next up, we've got ZScript, which is a thing that is happening.
Yeah, that's a little premature to talk about at the moment, but DoomScript is finally happening, and it is in some form of flesh.
I don't like change!
We don't actually know a whole lot about it. I mean, a lot of it's been kind of mum, partially because the people in the know and in charge aren't really talking to the common folk about it.
Yeah, and I read all the bug threads that get posted from the ZScript branch, and a lot of it is like, well, this feature doesn't seem to work properly, I can't seem to do this with this feature, and the response is almost always, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Worrying.
Very.
And then it's like, why isn't this documented on the wiki? Because we're not finished with it yet.
Which seems like a kind of dangerous way to go about things, because documentation is development.
Yeah, and maybe this is a personal bias getting in the way here. The one person that seems to be actively posting ZScript bugs and actually trying to use ZScript is Major Cook, which is, I'm not going to say I dislike the guy, but it does seem like he's being a little heavy-handed on this sort of thing.
Well, what we've got here is we've got one of the biggest mods in recent memory, Doom for Doom, and it is using the most super advanced and efficient and awesome features for GZ Doom. It's practically GZ Doom's flagship title now, and I think to that wit, Graphzol is pushing almost all of the muscle that he can, working with Cook, cooperating with Cook, etc., etc., in order to make sure that Doom for Doom looks really badass, plays really badass, so that GZ Doom looks really badass and plays really badass. Which, in and of itself, not really a bad thing, but again, where does that leave the common folk? Where does that leave Joe Motter?
It's
a strange
situation where, at the moment, ZScript is basically just D4D script, basically.
Yeah, that's honestly the other thing that I'm worried about, is that a lot of the tweaks that are being made to ZScript at the moment are pretty much centered around that one mod. Even Graf has admitted as such at this point.
Which that cannot,
it's something he's been trying not to do.
Well, I mean, previously with previous mods, his basic general response to them has been, fuck off.
Yeah.
I still remember Graf's response to realism. That was really fun.
He's historically been pretty dismissive and sometimes outright hostile to the modding universe, to be honest. It's like, if it doesn't fit his incredibly narrow-minded definition of what Doom is, it might as well not exist.
He seems to be opening up a little bit lately, and I'm not sure whether that's because he's tiring of all the stick he's gotten in the past, or if he's just tiring in general from basically being the only person working on the engine for so long.
Well, whatever the case may be, he's just getting more and more bitter, and it's starting to come out a lot.
You mean he wasn't bitter already?
In comparison, no.
Let's be honest. I mean, Graphzol is a programmer, and Name me a programmer that isn't bitter, angry, and cranky.
Even look at pseudo-legendary figures like Marcus Persson or John McAfee, and they've basically both gone completely off the deep end.
Yeah, and even Carmack in his heyday, he was pretty not very well disposed to his common man.
He was kind of scary.
Yeah, he was scary. He can choke a bitch. And Ken Silverman, of course. for those who are already very familiar with Ken Silverman's history, this is going to be old news, but there is a very, very popular letter that was written during Blood's development. Basically, the Blood team absolutely hated working with Ken Silverman, because every week, Ken would be working on the engine, and he would be pushing features, and everything about Blood would just break. Completely break. And, of course, it was up to the Blood team in order to report it, and they were basically pulling straws as to who would have to call, because nobody wanted to talk to Ken Silverman. Everybody hated talking with him, because he just didn't really interact with people at all.
So he's pretty much the definition of the shut-in.
I'd say it was less the shut-in and more the programmer.
Yep, I could go with that.
That whole antisocial savant stereotype thing didn't really create itself.
Works better with machines than people. Machines do what he wants.
Yeah.
Oh, lordy. Onto a happier note. Happier note. Next up, Danny O'Dwyer, Making of Doom 4 documentary. Kinsey, you have this written down in my notes. I have no clue who this Danny O'Dwyer person is. Would you be so kind as to tell us about him?
So Danny was a key figure at GameSpot in recent years, who did big documentary things and like opinion piece video things. He did videos like on the making of Overwatch and on like the cultural impact the Tony Hawk series had, and they were really well written.
I'm sorry, hold up. Cultural impact of Tony Hawk?
So here I am, the music doing everything I can.
Be fair, I actually know at least one person who literally learned what skateboarding was because he played a Tony Hawk game.
Term, didn't you ever notice around the 90s when Tony Hawk was becoming a thing? Didn't you ever notice like the big letters of SKATE floating around like around your neighborhood and like those big VHS tapes? You never noticed those?
No.
Maybe you should look up more often. Jeez.
Is that why there's a VHS tape just randomly sitting on top of the power lines outside my house?
See? That was an artifact from a lost time, man.
Nobody ever did find that secret tape.
They boarded too hard. It opened up the rift into the skate time dimension.
But yeah, his stuff was well written, well directed and that. And recently he left GameSpot because, well, gaming media. And he started doing his own Patreon-funded thing. And he recently put out a making of documentary about Rocket League. That was fantastic. And now he's doing a thing about Doom 4. And he has a teaser clip up on his YouTube, and it's interesting.
What sort of stuff can we expect? Like, what's this guy's style? How does he usually do things?
It'll be a lot of talking heads of, like, the developers going into the history of the project with some occasional narration to the camera. And lots of slow panning shots of, like, weird and interesting stuff in their offices. Maybe some like early prototype footage and stuff, which will be really interesting if they do that for Doom 4 because of the whole Call of Doomy era of development.
Yeah, I want to learn more about that thing, if only for morbid fascination.
Yeah, alternate universes like that, like where we see what we could have gotten, is something that just fascinates me constantly, for better or for worse.
Yeah, it might actually be worth watching. I'm actually really getting into documentaries about games lately. Come to think of it, weren't they supposed to be making a film out of Masters of Doom? Someone?
That'd be the best movie.
I think there was an adaptation going on at some point, but I'm not sure what happened with that.
I would love to see that. I'm with Keegan. I would just love to see that.
Okay, apparently there was an audiobook of it narrated by Will Wheaton. which,
oh,
be honest, that is the person that I probably really don't want to be listening to reading a book.
He's moving on. Happy thoughts.
I'm sorry, my biases are coming through again.
You're not alone there.
So, on to happier thoughts. So, actually, no, not happier thoughts. This is actually just worse overall, but hey, we've gone this low. Let's just go all the way balls in. So, there's been a new game released on the Steam Workshop recently, or Steam Library. Either way, it's pretty much the Steam Toilet at this point. Space Trucker, a retro-inspired first-person shooter. Extremely original.
Extremely legal as well.
Yes.
Totally legit.
Yes.
So basically, like 90% of the assets in that thing are pulled from either other retro FPSs or other retro FPS mods, like Duke Forever 2013 for Duke 3D. There's stuff from Duke, there's stuff from Rise of the Triad, there's stuff from Brutal Doom, there's stuff from all over the place.
Stuff from, of all things, William Shatner's Tech War.
Because, you know, that's a great resource to pull from.
Cough, cough, cough.
See, when we say retro-inspired, we mean that in the same way Fighter's History was inspired by Street Fighter.
And unlike most retro FPS-inspired things that blatantly pull from other retro FPSs, this one costs money and it's not a free mod.
Nope.
It costs $20.
So, Marfy Black, who you might know as a modder in the community, did a bit of research into this. And he found out that the developers of this used to be Second Knife moguls.
What? Seriously?
Oh, yes. This rabbit hole goes deep.
Who appear to be putting games on Steam for the express purpose of having like a Steam emoticons and profile backgrounds of their fursonas.
Yeah.
And this isn't even their first go at the plagiarism game. One of their previous Steam games, the music in the trailer is from the anime movie adaptation of Sin.
Oh god, that fucking movie. I'm not sure what's worse, the fact that people remember that movie still exists or that people would try and steal stuff from it.
Well, keep in mind, this is like Marfy Black that figured this out, and he's basically a walking, talking, slightly sweaty encyclopedia of retro FPS stuff.
That man knows a lot.
Yeah, I love his obscure first-person shooter series. They're very fun to watch.
Yeah.
So apparently, like, people who are responsible for some, at least one of these borrowed IPs has been made aware of it and reported it to Steam, so who knows what's going to happen there. Maybe it'll be gone by the time you hear this.
Here's hoping.
But it's still up by the time we're recording, so...
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's unfortunate. Ah, Jesus. This entire news section has just been downhill the entire way. Well, I mean, there's pinball. That's good. I guess that's good. Let's just move straight on from that. Stuff we've been playing recently... Everyone likes talking about that. So, Kinsey, what have you been playing recently?
Well, recently a mod came out in like a test build called Doom Delta.
Mm.
And it is another attempt at the whole like recreating and finishing like the Doom beta style, the Doom Bible sort of thing. Except, one, it's rapidly approaching it like where it can actually be called complete.
Ooh.
And two... It's actually pretty good.
The curse of the Doom Alpha may finally be lifted. Pretty much every single project that's been made based on the Doom Alpha has just kind of died a horrible death.
And who knew that the only way to get ahead of that was just to not make any maps?
The secret to an enjoyable gameplay mod, ladies and gentlemen.
Not including any maps.
Don't make maps. So it's got the massive helmet HUD from like one of the very early builds of Doom, and it has like a working mini-map on it, which is kind of laggy for technical reasons, but it works really well. And you've got like old-style weapons, you've got a 1993-style Unmaker Darkclaw weapon. There's a lot it's all handled very well, and like the sound effects and visual style are very close to the original Doom, and there's four playable classes and stuff. It's really well done for what it is. And it's not like throwing special effects everywhere and that. It keeps mostly to the style of the old original game. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not having like particle effects everywhere and all that. It's ambitious in parts, but unambitious in others. And I think that careful balance makes it feel really good.
I'm going to have to check it out. One thing that especially interests me is you mentioned the sound design is very close to the original Doom. I'm going to have to pay a lot of attention to that, because Doom's sound design was very, very simple. It was mostly just stock sound effects. I mean, even stock sound effects that are still being used nowadays. I mean, the Doom door sound effect is being used in video games and movies and TV everywhere. So for something to stay close to that style of sound design, it'd basically be just a matter of using the stock sound effect library, taking the sounds, tweaking them very slightly, compressing them a lot, slapping them in. So I'd be interested in that.
Well, one of my favorite things with the sound design is that the old item pickup boop-boop sound that you hear in Doom, he's made variants of that for like treasure items and that. That sort of remind me of PC speaker sounds.
Ooh.
Just by adding extra boops and adjusting the pitch and that. And that sort of keeps the flavor of the original sounds while adding to it. And that's something that's done really well.
It's going the extra mile for authenticity. I can respect that.
Yeah.
They kind of come off to me as being like ad-lib sounds, like of the Wolfenstein variety.
Yeah, they sort of sit in like that middle ground between the PC speaker and ad-lib stuff from Wolfenstein and the sampled sounds from Doom.
So basically, this mod isn't so much Doom the way it should have been. It's more Doom from an alternate universe where it came out in June instead of December.
Doom as it might have been, basically.
Hey, kind of like what we're getting with Doom 4. That was a nice little reach around, yank a little harder on it. But how about you, Keegan? Speaking of reach arounds, what have you been up to?
Well, you yourself pointed me towards Bullet Eye, and I think that's actually a very interesting mod. It's good to see another Doom mod out there that's inspired heavily by Super Nintendo stuff. The mod's obviously very early in production, and it needs a lot of work to it. And funnily enough, I see a lot of parallels between it and Shimoda. Mainly, it's kind of interesting how, you know, Jimoda is very fantasy and melee based, whereas Bullet Eye is very sci-fi and projectile based in its combat. Though I feel like it's got that same weird sort of confusing vagueness as Jimoda in the current version that's playable for everybody right now. Has, you know, you kind of look at it and you're like, what the fuck am I doing? What are those elements on the side? Oh, this is really cool, but what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. That's something a lot of mods tend to struggle with in terms of intuitiveness, just trying to figure out the whole what the hell am I doing factor and how the hell did I do that.
It's cool, though.
That's actually something I was talking to Pillow Blaster about earlier today, that he's saying something about working on adding like on-screen control guides for some of the weapons, because it's not clear what a lot of the actions are doing. I'm trying to keep it intentionally vague because I'm not sure how much of it he's really going to clear me to say.
I will say this, though. Some of those HUD elements and some of that sprite work, if that really is his, it's fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. The dude is a very, very talented artist.
Very promising at the moment. Very early, but very promising.
Yeah, he needs to fix his HUD because it's all fucked up on bigger resolutions. And some of the sub-weapons are lacking. The energy claw, especially. Oh, and I guess I've been playing I, too. I gained bros if my legs are okay, etc., etc.
Yes, tell us more about I, this lovable retro FPS.
It's not retro. Why you gotta... Oh, sure. Open mouth, insert foot.
Nah, I'm just joking you, dude. Sure, talk a little bit about I. What have you been doing in that?
Been replaying the story again with co-op with a few buddies of mine and discovering the wonders of Triangle Gate, which immediately vaporizes both friend and foe, which for the most part in co-op, it's friend because it's funnier that way.
Friendly fire is still a thing, even in the space future, huh?
In the confusing space future.
Yeah,
is there a single line of dialogue in that game that's even remotely coherent to read?
Yes.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me,
You killed a good and caring daddy.
Or bullshit. Ultra failed attack.
That is the best sentence in the game, I must say.
Actually, no, I'd say the best one would be... Oh, jeez.
Could always go for the classic you gain Bruzov.
No, I'd say the best line in the game is, the only accident I fear will be your head falling into a vat of acid with me wearing your fucking moron face as a party mask. Now that's a threat.
You know someone means business with that.
That is a brosiful message.
It is. It's funny how in games developed by people who don't speak English as a first language, they tend to get the threats perfect, but the rest of the text is borderline incomprehensible sometimes.
Kyokugan karate. Don't forget it, Dweebenheimer.
Also, Divine Cyromancy is the only game I can think of right off the top of my head that has a sword that actually makes things explode when you hit them. Like, there's actually an honest-to-God explosion on hit. If that's not rad, you need to get the hell out. Yeah!
No, see, the best thing about I is that there's a submachine minigun. Like, it's a minigun and a gun the size of a MAC-10.
Oh, you mean that RoboCop-looking pistol?
Yeah, the HS-10.
Yeah, it makes that freaking really angry loud brrrr when you turn it on full auto. Like, there's full auto, and then there's go ape shit mode. That's what that is.
Good luck hitting anything more than 10 feet away mode.
There's, like, single fire, semi-auto, full auto, and then yes, bullets.
If it's within 9 feet, though, they're basically going to turn into a fine red mist.
Yeah,
I mean... Fire rate's so intense, you start firing out fragments of the gun itself, and it just flies into your hand. It's like, what the hell happened to my pistol?
You shot it.
Where's one of my fingers?
You shot it, too. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good game.
Excellent
Even if it's
game.
Not technically a retro FPS, it's still got the cheeky spirit of Deus Ex.
There's a cyber demon in there. Oh, excuse me. A Deus Ex Machina. But really, it's the cyber demon's French angry cousin.
Yeah, like I said, it's got the spirit of Deus Ex.
Oh, God.
We have to deal with this a lot.
Every day, pretty much.
Every day. Help me!
Don't worry, Keegan. One day, I'll subject Weasel to the punishment chamber.
Please, do. Sorry, Weasel. Everybody's got to take one for the team.
Not right away, though, I hope.
Speaking of which, what have you been playing recently, Weasel?
Well, aside from random MS-DOS solitaire card games, fascinating, I know, I suppose recently I've just been rediscovering Project MSX on account of people keep bumping the damn thread. I was briefly trying to play through Dump 3 with it, but it was really not being friendly to me, so I just blew up most of Map 1 of Back to Saturn X instead.
Well, it could be worse. It could be like that guy was trying to play Dump 3 with Hideous Destructor.
Oh! Cat and Sledge is a madman. I mean,
there are enough maps in Dump 3 that start with monsters directly facing you in the starting area that Hideous Destructor is basically just a commit suicide button wired up to the new game option.
Yeah, that's the thing. Cat and Sledge, he was actually streaming most of his iterations of doing Dump 3 with Hideous Destructor. And he was actually doing pretty good. He was defeating quite a few of the maps. There were several maps that obviously he couldn't do, but for the most part, he was actually doing surprisingly well.
He is a brave man. Foolish,
a stupid
but
man,
brave.
But brave too.
Wow, that's some wavelength shit.
What do you like about Project MSX, Weasel?
You know, going back to it now, I think what I admire the most about it is the animations are just really, really, really good. I mean, it's pretty obvious that a lot of the guns are based on model rips from, like, the Fear games or Counter-Strike mods or whatever, but he's done enough of a touch to make them look like actual sprites without losing that the neat 3D sort of look that, like okay, you reload the autocannon and there's just a lot of... It just feels heavy the way it's moving around, and I friggin' love it.
Satisfying as all hell. I love the sniper rifle reload especially.
I love that fucking autocannon. Oh!
Ah, Jesus!
Oh, yeah!
Getting the autocannon all messy, dude.
Yeah, dude, not on the keyboard.
Don't worry.
I haven't played Project MSX in a long time, but my favorite game in it was Metal Gear 2. I'm sorry, I mean I haven't played Project MSX in a long time, but my favorite thing about it is how you can charge and charge and charge your fist or your grenades.
Oh, yeah.
So basically the first thing I'd do at the start of map one of either Doom 2 or TNT is just switch the fists and charge and charge and charge and just casually walk up to the first monster and let go of the fuck you button.
I love how it's a legitimate tactic within Project MSX to fully charge your fist and punch the floor as hard as possible. You nuke then, everything around you.
Yeah.
And then everything within like a 10-foot radius of you is now glued to the wall.
It's so good. But now I'm heartbroken knowing that we'll never get the cool like arm blades or boomerangs.
Oh, never say never. I mean, there's been less notable mods that came back from the dead after 5 years. I mean, look at No End in Sight. Just recently got a id Games upload, too.
Yeah, look at Jamoda. Oh, spoiled that.
Oh, but going straight from there, let's seek straight into the what have you been working on segment. So, Keegan, what have you been working on recently?
I'm glad you asked.
I heard you mention Jamoda recently.
Yeah, I'm genuinely glad you asked. And for those of you that don't know, I am working on a massive, massive, massive overhaul for Jamoda. God, please let it be the last one, because I'm sure many of you know I am terrible when it comes to this, and I'm genuinely sorry about that. But I am working on overhauling the melee combat, the sub-weapons, the blaster, pretty much everything at this point. But what I'm currently on working on right now is the alt-fire, so the power sword. For those that know, there are item crashes right now where you throw super-enhanced versions of whatever sub-weapon you have equipped. Now they're going to be sword techniques, and it'll power your sword up into different elements. So you have all the important elements like, you know, fire, ice, lightning, wind, moon, energy. That's an element now.
Yeah, basically it's powered by taking off your pants.
That's foul, yo.
You should call it Moonergy.
Moonergy.
Lunergy. By the power of the moon, I will stab the shit out of you.
Moon prism power this bitch.
Actually, the moon one's the axe, so it's by the power of skill.
I can't believe Lord Blazkowicz turned into a magical girl. Demon Steel was never the anime mod.
Oh my god, don't even put that mental image in my mind right now. But right now, currently, right now I'm working on the Thunder Stinger, which is the Lance's technique, which, for those of you that have played Devil May Cry, you know that stinger move where you slide forward and you jab dudes with your sword? Think of that, but where if you slide long enough, the sword gets lit up with lightning, and if you hit somebody with it then, it calls down lightning on their head, because that's fucking cool.
Weren't you having some trouble with that animation?
I fixed it. let's not go into the power of animation. Look, suggestive, okay? No.
So, I take it you haven't been working well with the animations?
They're working better now.
It's kind of amazing how much we've kind of relied on Sergeant Shivers to do absolutely incredible animations for us.
Oh yeah, he says hi.
Shivers says hi. He wants to be on the podcast someday. He really wants to be.
Yeah.
Wasn't he already?
Once.
He needs to come back.
Yeah.
Once he manages to find his way out of that dog that ate him.
Well, moving on from there, Co-Weasel, what sort of stuff have you been working on lately?
Fuck all.
Okay, how about you, Kinsey?
Actually, I probably shouldn't leave it at just that. I mean, to be perfectly honest, my work has been for like college classes and things like that, and it hasn't really been especially motivating to be working on my personal stuff in the meantime. But I do have a fairly well written design document for what I plan to be my next mod, which I'm not going to say what it is in case I lose all motivation again and don't ever get around to it. So I don't want to get people too hyped up.
Well, I'm looking forward to Weasel Presents Pirates.
I'm really looking for Weasel Presents Classic Hits, Pepsi Man.
No, you know, there was already a mod like that for Killing Floor, if I remember right.
Oh, God.
Then jumping on from there, straight next. We've been kind of knocking this out tonight. How about you, Kenzie? What have you been working on?
So I released a new version of MetaDoom recently, and people seem to like it. So I've been taking a little bit of a break and just letting the bug reports add up. And I started knocking some of those out recently. And hopefully I will have a new release done, like a bug fix release done, like maybe on the weekend.
Quote them on that, people.
Sometime in 2017. That's not actually that far out.
Shortly after Realism Expansion Pack 5.
What sort of stuff have people been saying about the bug so far? Any sort of consistent theme?
People seem to like it.
Shocking.
And, yeah, I know. And that's always good, because by the time you reach the end of developing a reasonably large mod, you're never sure what it is anymore. And that's especially bad with, like, mods that are trying to be funny, like Realism, because the jokes don't work for you personally anymore, because you've seen them and heard them so many times. You're just completely mute to them, and you're just like, oh god, I hope people like this.
With Realism, it's especially kind of egregious, because there are so many different avenues for people to suggest more things. Hey, this reel would be great to include! You should totally include this reel!
And that's why Ed the Bat, who's an awesome modder, added custom reel support to the most recent version, because I'm not going to be able to please everyone.
Mm-hmm. How many people have actually made their own custom reels?
There's been a couple, but not any really recently. Mostly around when that expansion hit.
Still trucking on, people still making stuff, so that's good. And then straight from there, I'm sure some more avid listeners have been noticing that I kind of skipped the whole what have you been playing and what have you been working on section for me, because, like I said, I've been sick recently. Can you guess what I've been working on?
Him and his internet.
You gave your internet the flu. Nice going, Term.
Term's been busy at the whole not dying thing.
Yeah, that's what I've been working on. I've been working on not dying. It's especially interesting. The final boss is kind of difficult, but you know, if you kind of save scum, you can get through it hard enough.
Cheetah.
That's not entirely true. What I've been doing recently during my downtime and what few moments of lucidity I have, I've been going through the classic expansions. Everyone knows about Doom. Everyone knows about Doom 2, but I have a confession to make. Until yesterday, I have never, ever beaten TNT Evolution in its entirety.
That's fair.
Honestly, that's fair. Neither have I.
And I am so sorry, may Ty Halderman rest in peace, but I did not like TNT Evolution.
Wasn't that like their first thing anyway?
Not really their first thing, but it was their first paid thing that they were licensed by id to do.
And I would say people don't see Evolution to the end because they enjoyed it. It's because, all right, I'm not going to let this map set fucking beat me this time.
Wasn't that more Plutonia? Because Plutonia is known for beating people.
you can apply it for both.
Yeah, just one. You get beaten because of Revenants, and the other you get beaten because of Tedium.
Well, random chain gunner ambushes with archviles behind them.
I actually rather like Plutonia. It's quite nice, and it is really, really nice to see a map set, an official map set at that, that just resorted to all sorts of dirty tricks in order to kick your ass.
It's basically Doom of the Lost Levels.
That's pretty much exactly what it was. Better than the Master Levels, too.
Mm.
It's really kind of interesting, too, because the most notable standout thing about TNT Evolution is the custom soundtrack.
Yeah.
And boy, the custom soundtrack is great! And then you get to Plutonia, and it's just the typical Doom music. There is a Plutonia MIDI pack, which actually I think featured the background in probably the previous intermission, or the one before that, but TNT Evolution, that's the one with the custom music. And that music is great.
Pretty good, yeah. The levels, though, not quite as consistent. Like, it starts off strong, but around halfway, just sort of, yeah.
Devolves into madness.
Then you get to the secret levels, and oh, the secret levels with their lovingly rendered JPEG Egyptian textures.
Look, we didn't have Google Image Search back then.
They were probably scanned out of, like, photo books of Egyptian ruins.
That's what I was going to say, just hastily scan it out of a National Geographic or some shit.
Yeah, and then they just...
Look, when we wanted textures back in the day, we had to go to the public library and...
They just had to force it into the palette, and boy, that still looks real shitty now. You take anything not intended to for use in Doom, and you push it into Doom's palette, and boy, it just messes up the color something fierce, and... The Egyptian textures did not fare any better in TNT. I will admit, TNT Evolution did lead to one of my absolute favorite puzzles of all time in the old Doom games. And it's really a puzzle that's kind of unfair at first, because you've got a whole bunch of squares, and you've got torches on them, and you step on a square, you instantly die. But then you look at the torches around you, and you notice that some of the torches are slightly different. So those you can step on. You step on the squares of those, and then you can continue going around, weaving and wobbling and going back and forth. And that is pretty cool. It's pretty nice to just have this sort of malevolent architecture that you have to really stop, think, and look around about. Usually in most of Doom games, the puzzle is simply... Find the keycard.
Shoot the monster. Shoot the monster and take its keycard.
Defeat the boss. Shoot the cyber demon until it dies.
Press this switch that doesn't really look like a switch. Oh, wait, that's Eternal Doom.
Or, you know, you could be like, IDCLIP. Yeah, fuck your puzzle. Walk around it through the wall.
1/100th of the IDKFA has been unlocked on E1M1 hangar.
I was about to make a Hexen joke. Fuck you.
Oh, poor Hexen.
No, I think the best Hexen joke was already made by Hexen itself with that one switch in Guardian of Steel that just tells you you will have to find another switch.
I thought the greatest joke in Hexen was the centaurs. It's like, yeah, sup, nerd? Like, I hope you have flasks.
That game has, like, what, only four kinds of monsters in it?
I think the greatest joke in Hexen was in Death Kings of the Dark Citadel, when you head over into the spider's tomb and you pull a switch and you instantly get crushed.
That's some Looney Tunes shit.
Pariah doesn't know how to deal with this shit. Or Baratus or Daedalon, or whoever you use. Actually, does anyone other than me actually know their names, or am I just that much of a nerd?
Baratus is the fighter, Pariah is the cleric, cleric. And Daedalus is the mage.
Right.
I remember all three of those guys because they're cool.
Right.
I believe it's Daedalon.
Daedalon, excuse me, right.
And did you know that because I told you, or did you know that because...
No, I know it because I care, because Daedalon's a hard motherfucker.
I actually read the manual back in the day for the Nintendo 64 version. In other news, I owned Hexen 64.
I am so, so sorry.
Incidentally, I actually didn't hate it, aside from the controls.
You were young and naive.
It had cool intermission text, damn it.
I really like this pizza, except for the cheese that happens to be poison.
But you can't stop eating it.
It's basically pizza in a nutshell, isn't it?
Oh god, this is so bad for me.
Oh my god, it's so awful. But I can't stop.
No, you know what? You're basically summarizing the entirety of the American fast food industry.
Oh, Kinsey, we should get you some American fast food sometime.
Burger.
This Carl's Jr. Western Bacon Cheeseburger, I can feel my arteries hardening whenever I take a bite, but it tastes so good.
I'm just imagining it now. You're placing this burger the size of my fucking head in front of what's basically a skeleton with skin, and I'm just sitting there looking at it like, so I do I take this home and... have multiple parts, or can I have a knife, or...
Big question is, how are we going to get that to you? I mean, do we, like, mail order it, stuff it in an envelope?
We'll figure something out sometime.
No, it's like we were discussing this earlier. What we do is you open up that cup holder on your in your computer, and you smush the hamburger in there, and you close it, and then you can send it that way.
Yeah.
That works, right?
Yeah, through an email.
Yeah, you just need a good CD ripping program.
You wouldn't download a blogger.
I don't think ImageBurn knows how to read the beef book format.
No, what you need is a CB drive, a cheeseburger drive.
Oh, Keegan, I love that one, but that was too cheesy even for you.
Ah!
What's wrong, Keegan?
This happens every day.
Don't get your buns flustered.
Ah!
Despite this always happening, they will never divorce.
Yeah, I don't really have any beef with Keegan.
I'm transmitting hate through the internet right now for you.
Let us move on.
Oh, was that another one? Lettuce? Oh.
Oh.
Please end it.
Man, Keegan, you're in a real pickle right now.
You can't stop, Keegan. It's to May too late.
You're not even fucking trying anymore, Thomas.
No, I'm not.
Let's just catch up to what we were talking about earlier. Fuck!